At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast on Instagram. Right. This dude has a website.
JustinFullerComedy.com. Check it out.
Yes. As you can see.
Yes.
We have a very special guest.
We do.
Mr. Charles Walden is in the house, everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Walden, where can they find you?
On social media, you know, Instagram, WaldenC23, and Facebook just under my name, Charles Walden.
Episode of the Midnight Paco Podcast brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer is they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trust, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
You know, I became familiar with you on Comic View, Def Comedy Jam.
Def Comedy Jam, for sure, yes.
I didn't get into a lot of fights, but the fights I did get into, even if I were to lose them, I'd still come out as the winner, because every time I got beat up, there'd be some girl standing there looking at the guy who beat me up going, "Now you know you're wrong."
You are a fellow comedian of ours and, you know, also an actor. Yeah, so what are we meant? And you still active to this day, like you still rocking the mics.
Yeah, how many years in the game do you got?
36.
Wow.
36.
Wow.
Nice.
And
so hold on.
He still goes to the barber. And I'm upset about that. Now, who can I talk to about that, bro? I mean, like, you got hair on your head. You're looking good.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, right. Facts.
We don't have no hair.
Well, you know, I tell people this. I say, God probably said, look, you know, I gave the man cerebral palsy and diabetes, so let him keep his hair.
I mean, you can't clown a lot of people because of that. My dad has a bald spot. You know, he does the comb over, and I said, "Nope, that's not going to be my future. Let me just shave it off."
But the cool thing is, like, you know, Michael Jordan made it, you know, cool for everybody to be bald head.
Yes,
right.
He did.
And that new Mr. Clean commercial is on point.
Oh yeah. But you know, it wasn't until Mike, you know, came and
right.
Because Michael Jordan had got people doing, had men starting to get, you know, manicures and pedicures. You know.
Oh,
yeah.
Because when I first heard Michael Jordan talking about, yeah, you know, he get a pedicure, I'm like, look, you know, you ain't no real dude. And then I looked up, and then there's guys all around talking about, yeah, I got to go get my feet done.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I don't want nobody touching these things.
I mean,
they're bad.
I never had a pedicure. The podiatrist done it, but he ain't really do no manicure. He just cut my nails and stuff. You know, when you have diabetes, that's what you do.
Yeah, I know. But,
yeah. So you said 36. So when did you start? Like age wise.
I was like 18. It was 99 January.
Nice night. We're in Philly, right?
Yeah, I just started going to open mic nights, and
nice.
And one thing. Mm-hmm.
Now, did you hear about the open mics from somebody, or did you just like pursue it?
Did you go in the paper?
Well, yeah, I was about to tell you, like, you know, that was to show you how old I am. That was when newspapers was. And I don't know if I can cuss, but it was.
Yeah, you can talk about whatever you want.
Yeah, newspapers was the shit back then. So, and I was looking in the classifieds section, and you know, where it had entertainment, and I just saw like the Comedy Works, and they said they had open mic nights on Wednesday, and then I just started going down there.
Nice,
yeah. So, at 18, like, what made you want to like, this is what I'm gonna do, or want to try to do?
Well, you know, it started probably about, you know, 10 years before that.
Okay.
You know, because my uncle was letting me listen to Richard Pryor albums. And then I just started seeing other comedians on TV and, like, you know, how much fun they were having. And
nice.
And it just kept staying with me.
Yeah. Growing up in Philly, Philly is like Cleveland. We, you know, we're often on the first 48. I'm not bragging on that, but it's just the fact. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
So, yeah. So you know, you grew up in Philly, and Philly's just like us a little bit. Like, how was that? Like, you know, because people in Cleveland, you know, it's like world renowned. Everybody laughs. Like,
yeah. It's they're not giving.
So growing up in Philly, how was it, man? Like, I know you're funny, but, you know, was it like, did they just take to you, or did it take a minute for you to develop your style? How did that work?
I mean, it took a minute. Don't know comedian start off like right away, and you know, it take a few years to figure out who you are on stage. You know, I remember, you know, J. Anthony Brown said, you know, a lot of times it takes you about 10 years to figure out who you gonna be on stage.
Right.
That scared me.
And I remember, like, as it got close to my 10th year, I said, damn, he was right, because you got, you know, just figure out, you know, what kind of comedian you gonna be. And then it takes a while to get the feel for everything on stage.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah, you run into different issues all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so how did you get hooked up with Comic View?
Audition.
Okay. So you did not submit tape like back then, or like how was that? Did you show up?
Oh no. What it was? A friend of mine named Rick Thomas. He used to own a comedy club in Philly called the Comic Stop.
Okay.
And he called me one day. He said, Charles, he's like, BET got a new show out called, you know, Comic View, and they're having auditions. And the way they did it was they would hire, like, local camera people from, like, you know, the local TV show.
Okay.
And the talent scout, you know, she would be, you know, she would come out, and her name was Lynn. I forgot Lynn's last name.
Okay.
But and then you know, we would film, you know, then when they would film it, they would overnight the tape to LA.
Oh, okay.
And that's when we got the phone call.
Nice.
Wow. That's the process back then.
Yeah. But you was on Comic View like several times.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
Now, after that, is it like, did they just reach out to you after that, or you submit every time, or audition every time?
Sometimes they would call you, but a lot of times they would just you know want you to re-audition or whatever.
Okay. So starting off, like, is there a lot of comedians that you started off with still doing it, or how a lot of them drop off? How you know what I mean within the scene?
Yeah, a lot of, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but a lot of them did drop off.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we see it, and it's tough. I mean, to get out there all the time and, right, you know, to keep hustling and being out there. But, you know, we're starting late in the game. You know, we're in our 40s. And so, you know, it's even harder because we got full-time jobs. We're trying to go out there and do comedy. Yeah. We do the podcast. And, you know, the thing is that we started doing comedy, and the whole point is to talk about it. It's been our journey, and to get comedians who've done it. You know, we have so many like ranges of like ages and years throughout the game on the podcast, and
right,
to have your knowledge, you know what I mean, throughout the whole, you know, life of it, 36 years is amazing.
That's a fountain of information there.
Yeah. So how's that ride been?
You know, it has its ups and downs, but you know,
for sure.
Just fight through it.
Acting. So you say you've done a little bit of acting, right?
Yeah, a couple of like independent movies. That's about it.
Okay, yeah.
No, that's dope.
Yeah, that's still, yeah. I've done one. I've had a couple scenes.
I did a couple of skits.
Yeah. Are you do you do skits or anything, or no? You just
skits, not so much yet, but I want to.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so it's like, I don't know what type of comedy you were doing. Like, we started out in a place in Chicago Falls here called the Funny Stop. That's our home, you know, comedy club, and the owner wanted 5 minutes clean.
I got a shirt on.
Yeah, that's the Funny Stop. He wanted 5 minutes clean.
R.I.P. Pete.
Yeah, rest in peace, Pete. And I know you were clean on Comic View.
Yeah.
So when you made the jump to Def Jam, like, explain that to me, like, the process to Def Jam, because I know, you know, certain crowds, they want to hear the gritty. They want to hear the grind.
But know what? A lot of times, just because you're on a format like that, that will allow you to be dirty. I mean, you really don't have to.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, we're working kind of clean all the time. It, you know, it just relaxes you, and you can still, you know, you can still make your material funny and a little edgy, you know, without the profanity.
Right.
Yeah. So do you write, or do you just?
Oh, yeah. I'm always, like, writing stuff down.
Okay. Well, some people go up there. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, yeah, I'm always writing down and trying to put stuff together.
Okay. Yeah, because he goes off the top of his head a lot.
I write things.
I'm just saying, it's just a different style. You know what I mean? I like to go up there and be structured most of the time and know what I'm talking about instead of trying to just go through over the material in my head, you know.
But, you know,
that's all.
You know, it's not wrong with a lot of times going off the top of your head, because, you know, that could be a good thing, because you got one of them nights where ain't nothing working, and then you got to improv a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing I've been working on lately is, because I've been known to show up and just have a set prepared, like, this is what I'm going to do. But I've learned more to see, okay, these, you know, who's in the crowd, and try and judge. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, maybe talking about fingers and buttholes is not going to work. it's the wrong crowd for that.
Yeah. So, walk us through that, Charles, if you can. Like, when you go to a venue and you're really not familiar, like, what are you like, this is my material I'm going to do, or do you scan the crowd? Do you listen to the comics before you? How does that work for you? How does that go?
I mean, I'll stick with my material, but if I got to, like, make a adjustment, I will. And you learn to pick up, you know, little, you know, to say little things when the night is not going well.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, you have a lot more years of experience.
Yeah, and you know, I guess it happens to everybody, but I was like, I couldn't imagine things not going well for you, you know, because you knock them dead all nights.
Oh, no, all comedians have rough nights. You know, don't let them, you know, fool you.
I mean, okay.
No matter how big their status is, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, we'll have a rough night.
Yeah.
I was going to say, for the most part, though, when you guys go out, aren't you?
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Like people know they're coming to see you.
Right.
Or are you just on the bill sometimes and people don't know, or whatever the case?
A lot of times, you know, I'll just be on the bill.
Oh, okay. All right. But I'm sure that, you know, your name's been out there, so people know for the most part what they're getting.
They know they're
maybe, you know,
they know they gonna laugh.
Yeah. Either way, you're gonna laugh. Yeah, because but the good thing is you always get new, you know, people to see you.
Right.
So have you put out a special?
Yeah.
I've been working on that. You know, it's not. You gotta get the right people behind you.
Okay. All right, because I see clips and everything, but it's just, you know, I didn't see nothing pop up as far as special goes. So you're 36 years in, and you haven't released a special, and we got, you know, people just putting them out.
And yeah, so why haven't we seen a Charles Walden special? I mean, just, and I'm only asking because, like I said, me and Justin, we're only 4 years in. Like, is it the backing? Is it, like, what? What does it take, or what do you need for us to see a Charles Walden special?
Yeah, it's pretty much the backing, you know, getting the right people behind you.
And okay.
I had people try, but you know, they didn't. They either lost interest or didn't have enough pull.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now, see, the good thing is, you know, so your material is so it's not really burned. You know what I mean? That's the good thing. You know, you travel and you can still do your material and it's not out there. You know, when people, you know, as soon as you put it out there on a special, you got to like
almost kill it.
Basically.
You know.
At least that stuff.
Yeah, how do you feel about that, Charles?
I mean, it's just challenging, that's all. I mean, because you want to be able to always keep creating.
Right. Yeah. Oh, obviously, you want to evolve. Yeah, as you get older and things happen in the world, you're going to, you know, create more. But the good thing is, like, you keep a catalog, though, because the more things you think of and the you know, the more you talk about, you have those things to flip through now. You know what I mean? You can say, okay, well, yeah, that's not going to work. Okay, I can go back to this, you know, but the more you do it and you hold back releasing things is a good thing. You know, do you release, like, crowd work? Are you big on crowd work or you just stick to the strip?
Well, not really. I don't really like messing with the crowd, you know.
Okay.
I leave that alone. You know, I'm pissed off the wrong person and, I can't run, so.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, that's another thing because, you know, certain places, you know, I don't know if you, you know, because some places that we get in, we perform that, it's pretty intimate.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you still do those type of spots, but sometimes people like to be a part of the crowd. You know, they like to think they're a part of the show a lot. So how do you handle those situations?
I mean, I got my little comeback. It just depends on what they say.
Yeah.
And then it would determine, like, how I come back.
Yeah.
So throughout the years, you just have a bunch of, like, see, that's the thing. Like, when you've done it for so long,
yeah,
you've probably been in so many different situations. And that's the part is of growing. You know, that's a 10-year thing, I think.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, because within our 4 years, you know what I'm saying, we've gotten to a point where we know how to handle ourselves in certain situations, but right. We haven't been in every situation.
Nah.
You know, you've dealt with things being dropped you know, by a waitress or something, or hecklers saying stuff. You know, we've known how to maneuver that. You know?
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it's challenging in the process. You know what I mean? But so you started at 18, and that's the only thing you've done?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
So how did you get the ball rolling? Like, say you're fresh, you're 18, you've been doing it. Like, at what point, like, did you start putting on your own shows, or?
Well, I mean, I started at 18, and I didn't start really, you know, doing paid gigs till I probably was about 21.
Okay, so a few years in.
Definitely paid your dues and everything.
Yeah. So did you did you put on any shows or do showcases, or are you just like on flyers?
Oh, no. I mean, I you know, did auditions at a lot of comedy clubs.
Okay. Yeah. Festivals and such, like auditions and getting festivals and.
He's been grinding, man. He said he was been grinding since you look in the paper and be like, yeah, I'm coming there. He tried for that. So it's a little different now. We look online and be like, okay, they doing comedy there, and we showing up. So the grind was a little bit different.
Yeah, 100%. One thing, congratulations on the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you're an Eagles fan just because you're in Philly.
I love my Eagles. I think a lot of people were just tired of the Chiefs.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm from Erie, Pennsylvania, so PA, whatever. I'm a Steelers fan, but it's still PA.
Yeah, you know, it's my dream to have the Eagles and Steelers in the Super Bowl. I know that'd
be awesome. Yeah, that'd be dope.
And you know, they would have to lock down every prison in Pennsylvania. Because there'll be all kind of crazy gambling going on in there. Pittsburgh and Philly, you know, don't really like each other, especially if you're locked up.
Right. Especially during football season. See, the thing is,
I don't care if somebody from Pittsburgh. I'm cool with it.
Right. Yeah.
I was friends with somebody from Pittsburgh, and I asked him. I said, "Why do Pittsburgh people hate Philly? Some people from Philly." He said, "Because it's really no famous people from Pittsburgh. You can really claim." You know, I think it's just what is it, like Phyllis Hyman and George Benson.
I don't know. I could say all the Steelers. There's a lot of them.
Those are some heavy people, though.
Troy Polamalu, James Harrison, you know, those types of guys.
Those are some heavy people.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I got one of my best friends still lives in Philly. I've been to Philly plenty. Yeah. I have no problem with Philly.
Philly got, you know, they produce people just like I see. People don't know about what Cleveland produced, but Philly got the Roots, Jill Scott, Bill Cosby, Charles Walden, Michael Blackson.
Green Rocky Dog.
Kevin Hart. And the list goes on and on.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead. I was just saying all the food trucks that after the bars. that's what I remember.
Yeah, man. So as far as like you mentioned earlier that you was listening to some Richard Pryor records. Well, who else was some of your comedic influences that you watched and made you say, "Hey, I want to do this"?
You know, people like George Carlin.
Yeah.
And Jack Benny. Now, I know a lot of people are going to look up Jack Benny, but a lot of people are not going to get his humor because it's real dry. But I appreciate it because I know the discipline it takes to do that style.
Okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, when you said Jack Benny, I thought he played like the clarinet or something.
No, because remember, Jack Benny used to have his own show.
Yeah, I remember vaguely. I'm going to definitely look it up.
And, yes, if he has dry humor, I gotta check it out.
And I always admired, like, I mean, I know it ain't, you know, popular to say his name right now, but I always admired how Bill Cosby was able to make a story pretty much out of anything.
you know what? It is what it is. I'm a huge, you know, like big Bill Cosby fan. I'm not a fan of what he was accused of or anything, but you know, like his career and his life is what, you know, why wouldn't you want his career and what he accomplished in the entertainment field?
Right. You know. And how many doors he opened, you know what I mean?
That part too, that you can't erase what he done, you know, but
they always talk about separating the man from the art.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, like with Michael Jackson, you know, whenever they were accusing him, you know, his music, I still to this day.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, R. Kelly music.
And you know, and I found out something about Michael Jackson. It was funny because I was hanging out in the studio with this guy because they want me to do some material in between these tracks. And we were talking, about Michael Jackson. And the thing is, because I was like, you know, I always wanted to know what Michael Jackson, you know, voice really sounded like. And the guy was like, well, it ain't much difference. It's just a little deeper. And he said, I know because I found out by accident.
He said, oh,
he was working with Jazzy Jeff,
okay,
on a project, and he was in the studio, and the phone rang, and he answered it, and you know, and it was yes, this is Michael Jackson. I just wanted to know if Jeff was in yet, and he said no, and he hung up, and then he called back about 25 minutes later. He like, yes, this is you know, Michael Jackson, just trying to see if Jeff got there yet. And he said, no, he's not here yet. I'll make sure he calls you. And then he said, and about a half hour later, Jeff come to the studio talking about, yo, I'm hearing, like, you know, Michael Jackson keep calling here for me, but he keep getting rushed off the phone. And he said, yeah, he said, it's a Michael Jackson calling. But what did he say? He said, yeah, but he just keep asking for you. And then he said, well, you know, that's Michael Jackson. He's like, Michael Jackson who? He's like Jackson 5, Michael Jackson. He's like, well, why the hell he never said that?
What is he gonna say? I'm Michael Jackson from the Jackson 5. Jeff.
But because I guess because you're so used to hearing Michael talk about, yes, and then the other thing I found out was he said he talked to, like, you know, Michael Jackson's I guess manager, a guy named John McCain. And he said, you know, he told him, he said, don't believe them stories about Mike being no virgin. He said, you know, Mike owned a piece of the MGM in Las Vegas for a reason. You know, he got his suite in there, and he pounded away on plain females. He said he used to tear Brooke Shields up.
Whoa.
Good for Mike.
Yeah, go, Michael.
And I said, you know, that makes sense, because ain't no way in the world you're going to be on the road with your brothers all them years. And, you know, your brother, and you know, his brother.
Right.
And you know about his dad just laying.
Smacking bitches around.
Yeah. So, and ain't no way that ain't going to influence you, you know, just, you know, to say, all right, I ain't going to not sample nothing.
Right.
I just want to know what it tastes like.
Why
am I?
Because there was stories about, like, how they said Michael used to walk in on Jermaine going to town on some groupie.
Go ahead, Mike. He's just watching, like,
Jermaine. I think everybody knows the story about how Jackie used to tear Paula Abdul up.
This is my first time hearing it.
Who?
Jackie, his brother, Jackie.
Oh, really?
It's my first time hearing that.
Yeah, no, go ahead, because she's flexible.
Yeah, that's how Paula Abdul got the job being choreographer for the L.A. Lakers, because, you know, Jackie and Magic Johnson were good friends.
Oh, wow.
Man, so see, it's all about who you know.
It's all about who you know.
Huh? Or who you know.
Who you know or who you know.
Damn. See, yeah. we're getting some breaking news.
Yeah.
I guess we're the last ones to find out.
Man. Yeah, so.
Palm Tool.
I'm sure you got some stories, too, because you've been on the road a long time there, buddy.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of crazy stuff that happened. But, you know, fortunately, I'm glad a lot of groupies don't want to mess with me. So, I got saved.
See? He's smart. You don't want a lot of lizards.
But there's so many, comedian friends of mine got kids in so many different states. I'm like,
yeah,
I don't want them problems. Boy, yeah. See, I'm glad I'm not focused on that.
Yeah, man. I'm
trying to get this career popped off so I can make some money.
Yes.
So I got to work at a warehouse the rest of my life. That's what that is, folks. The grind sucks.
Yeah.
But it's fun, man, because this is I told him all the time, this is the one thing I look forward to.
Yeah.
You know, going out and do comedy and doing this and meeting people within the comedian world. You know what I mean? It's been great because I've met so many new people that I wouldn't have met having it not started 4 years ago. And that's case in point. So thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, no problem.
For being an OG in the game and you know, being part of this fraternity, it's kind of fun because we're all people who never want a real job, unfortunately, and we just want to make people laugh, you know what I mean, and just enjoy that for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, you, like I said, like in Philly, it's like, you know, I'm saying it's like almost parallel to like Cleveland because, you know, we work hard, we go through some serious situations, and I think if you can, you know, and some of these hard, you know, the cities that, you know, that have serious situations going, if you can make people laugh there, you could pretty much make people laugh anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and how's that been like traveling, starting in Philly and then going to different spots? Like, is it easier or just crowds are different? And so the approach is harder.
It depends where you go, like, you know, but as you do it long enough, you'll be like, okay, you know, this type of crowd, you know, I got to take this approach to performing.
So, like, when I look at a room, you know, you got, of course, you got black rooms, you got white rooms, you got older rooms, you see older people, you see younger people, like... That's what I look at when I scan a crowd. I'm looking at the demographics, if it's more males, more females, it's black, white, things like that. Do you have a preference of what type of room, or you don't matter? You at a point where you're kind of...
No, I never care.
Good.
Yeah.
I just didn't want them to be too raunchy where they weren't going to listen at all. That's all
right.
I want to be bothered with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that line. I ride the line. I don't curse. I just subject matter is, you know, riding the line is all, you know, I don't get too bad.
Yeah. I just think he was saying he don't like those where he prefer not the grimy, gritty, like raunchy, like certain crowds.
Yeah. Cause you have other things to talk about. You know what I mean? It's like, come on. I mean, so is that, so you're primarily clean, or you work, you do whatever?
I mean, yeah, I try to keep my set clean. So, cause you know, you got a lot of people that want to book you for private stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say work.
Yeah, that's dope.
So you do colleges, like, or you're out of that part of it?
I haven't done a college in a while because I'm older now.
Right, right. How old are you?
54.
Okay. Okay. My wife's age. Shout out to you.
He's big bro. You know, like I'm 49 and you like
I'll be 47 this year.
Yeah, so you big bro. A
couple months. Yeah. Well, that's how I was saying. I was like, I think he's probably I was telling my wife. So I think he's in his 50s, so she's like, so what you trying to say? I'm just saying he's older than me, is what I'm saying. I just remember from Def Jam, that's all.
Right. So that Def Jam experience, you know, like like for me, in my mind, I'm thinking because I do more clean too. And I would love to do a Def Jam, but in my mind, I'm like, I'm not raunchy enough for Def Jam. Will this work? But you rocked it.
Yeah.
So what was the thought process for you? Like, how did that work for you?
Well, you know, like I said earlier, I mean, just because I was doing a Def Jam didn't mean I had to be raunchy.
Right.
You know, because it feel like, you know, you're feeding into the stereotype when you do that.
Right. And then it was 5 minutes, correct?
Yeah, but it's like more like 7.
Okay, all right, because we were always talking, you know.
Yeah, like, I was like, I think they did 5 minutes,
right?
They're probably edited down to 5.
Okay. So that was what we were saying because, well, explain what you were saying earlier about why did you stop?
Right. So when I used to watch you on Def Jam and you know on Comic View. You know, this was before I understood what, you know, that the comedians had a time limit and stuff like that. I just thought they went up with a routine and then they'll be rocking out and then they'll just all of a sudden be like, well, that's my time, y'all. I got to go. And I'll be like, and I'll be at home like, why? And you were doing great. Why did you stop? So that was like, I didn't understand the light part of that. Did you always have your like, or that, you know what, it makes sense now is the editing. Because it's like, you know, we've been working for 5 minutes and we always pretty much timed our routines. But sometimes it looked like you got cut short. Like, did you have more to say? And you was like, all right, that's my time and I got to go. Like, walk me through that. Like,
a lot of times, you know, I would have like more to say. But, you know, you want to be respectful and not go too far over time. You know,
because
I wanted to get invited back.
Yeah, what he said was very important, you know, because a lot of new comics, they watch our show. And what he said was very important.
Right.
You want to be respectful of the time so you could be invited back.
Mm-hmm. You got people ignore the light like, what? You blinded me. Stop. I'm trying to do my set.
Yeah.
It's like, it's time to get off. Bye.
Yeah, like that. That was like okay. So as a rookie comic, I know you probably ran the light when doing your first couple of sets. Like when did you?
Well, a lot of times I couldn't do that because a lot of clubs would put about the time.
Mm. So you started basically in clubs.
Yeah.
You know, see, that's
and a lot of clubs will tell you, like, you know, especially like after about a year or two of doing it, they're like, look, listen, you got 8 minutes. We're gonna give you a light, but we shouldn't have to give you a light. You should know where your 8 minutes is at. And I'm like, damn, okay.
Yeah, so you gotta start timing it, but that put you on like that made you on point though. That's good. See, a lot of these mics and everything, like people, the problem is up here in Cleveland, we only have one place, really. Well, there's a couple clubs that have open mics. You know what I mean?
I don't know any comedy clubs other than the Funny Stop.
Cleveland, I'm sorry. Well, then down in Massillon.
Yeah.
Yeah, Crackpots. You know what I mean? But the, like, the Improv or the Funny Bone up here or Hilarity. Funny Bone
and Hilarity, they don't have open mics.
Yeah. There's no way to really get in the door to try and even get into the club unless I think you submit tape.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Yeah. So how many clubs down in Philly are there?
Right now you got Helium and Punchline.
Okay, Helium. Yeah, we went up to the Helium up in Buffalo.
Buffalo, yeah.
Shit, they had 3 minutes. That was rough.
Yeah.
trying to cut down trying to cut it down is, you know, and just have those punches in there.
Yeah, this should be at least 5.
Yeah, especially when you drive.
Yeah.
All that time up there for that.
Right.
So when you were on Def Jam, like I know obviously they filmed certain ones or different things, but like when you went there and because obviously it was a comedy show for the night you were there, how many comics went up?
Well, what they did was they had 4 comics perform and they would pick the best 3 sets out of that show. So like there was they would start taping shows at like 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and like 10 o'clock.
Oh wow. And they had like four people on each show.
Yeah, but it'd be like different audiences, so.
Okay, all right.
You ain't gonna have the same audience sit from 2 o'clock to 10 o'clock.
Right, yeah, 100%. But what was so?
Even though Comic View used to do that, because what Comic View would do is they would have the same crowd there, and they would just have about 15, 20 comics. You know, we just come out and perform and do our 7 to 10 minutes. And then after a couple hours, they would like rotate the audience.
Oh, okay. See, there's some behind the scenes stuff that we don't even know.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad, because the audience can get stale after a certain time. You know what I mean? It's they're like, okay, I'm ready to go. Show over. I'm having a good time.
Rotating, like whoever was like sitting in the front, they might move them to like the middle or the back. And they always kept like a warm up act, just
okay.
Keep the crowd going, and there was like a DJ that keep the up tempo music going too.
Okay,
yeah, but I think Def Jam sounds a lot better. Fresh audience,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Because after a couple of hours, man, it's like,
yeah.
I mean, if you're there all day and you want to be there, that's fine. You know what I mean? But wow. Mm. You know what I'm saying? When you're sitting there, and I'll sit there and I'll enjoy everybody going up, you know, but at a certain point, you're like, okay.
Until you decide you're ready to go smoke.
Yeah. Hey, man, you need a smoke break every once in a while.
We've been sitting in open mics. And when somebody goes up that he don't think is going to be funny, he'll look at me and be like, I'm about to go smoke. And I'm like, man, no, you need to sit here and watch this like I am.
It's not about. It's not about that. It's about picking the part, because I know certain people are going to be up. So I want to make sure I'm back for that.
So Charles, look, here go a thing that I'm struggling with. And maybe you can advise me, man. I'm trying really hard. I see performers that, you know, that's been in the game, and they give it, they all, no matter if it's one person or a room full. And sometimes when I feel like the venue is not properly promoted and it's like a few people in there, even though I try, I feel like it affects my performance. Have you ever experienced that?
Oh yeah. I mean, you go through all kinds of stuff on stage, because a lot of times, I remember getting into town like real late, mm-hmm. and just having to go straight to perform, or mm-hmm. in a lot of comedy shows, especially in Atlanta, Atlanta's always famous for this, doing the three shows in one night, you know, mm-hmm. 8, 10, 12. And about the midnight show, I'm on stage talking about, oh my God, didn't I just say this? And I'm like, oh, you know what? This is a whole new show.
Audience. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that happens, huh? I've heard other comedians say that. That happens, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. See, that's not good for me.
And a lot of times you just got to fight yourself, fight through whatever you're going through. Like,
yeah.
I remember, years ago when me and JB Smooth were talking.
Shout out to JB Smooth.
Shout out to JB Smooth.
Yeah, we were talking, and he was like, we was like, yeah, one thing about the audience and promoter, they don't care what's going on in your personal life. Like, if you just found out like a close relative is terminal ill, about a half hour before you go on stage, and I mean, you just gotta fight through that.
Yeah,
yeah, and he's a performer, boy. He's all over that stage.
Yeah, JB is.
I remember in the early '90s, it was a girl I was talking to, and I thought we was doing well, but you know, she wanted to break things off with me and go back to her old boyfriend, you know, which is fine. But but a friend of mine told me, right before I left to, to go up to New York, and she was like, well, I just want to wait till after your show. I said, well, I'm gonna tell you something. Like, you breaking up with me ain't gonna interfere with with my performance. I said, the only thing you can't tell me before my show is, my mama about to die. Which my mom has, passed away in '93. But what I'm saying,
sorry to hear that, bro. Sorry.
But mama, like, especially with guys, mama gonna love us no matter what.
Right.
I mean, even if we try and accomplish stuff, and we be in our late 30s, late 40s or whatever, mm-hmm. still going from job to job. So, but well, my baby trying.
We know it.
I've heard it.
Look, she don't ever switch. She don't ever fold.
Yep, I've heard it.
Now with fathers be like, ain't shit, because you still ain't got it together.
Right. Is your pop still with us, man?
Oh yeah, my pop. Yeah, he's still here. He's 75.
Nice.
And the crazy thing is, like, he got these two adopted boys. He has since probably like 12, or, in 2012 or something like that.
Okay.
And when he adopted them, everybody was like, well, how are you gonna adopt two kids? And he didn't even, he wasn't even in his own kid's life like that. I said, I had no idea. I said,
he's a changed man.
Yeah.
It happens.
You realize he missed out. I need some.
Because he had the patience, to be a parent. The oldest one he adopted, because, they got my last name and everything.
Okay. And
he losing patience with him. Talking about, well, he just turned 20 years old. I want him out and all this stuff. And I'm trying to help him out because, like, I'm like, Dad, just because, you're 20 don't mean, you're ready to move out. Because, like, nobody's going to rent an apartment to a 20-year-old.
Nah.
Mm-mm. When you get around 22, 23... that's when, you get the people that say, okay, they're more comfortable. But when mm-hmm. you're like 19, 20 years old, at least an office, like, yeah, you don't get the hell out of my office.
Yeah, and like, all you see is college parties or young people parties.
Unless you got them greenbacks.
Yeah. Exactly.
You got that money sometimes. You can find somebody to rent you some shit.
So the issue with him is he's like, because my dad, like, I'm 75, I had triple bopping. First of all, my dad ain't never really had patience. And the thing is, this because, like, me and his other kids, we extremely independent and just go out and about or whatever. But these two, he got keep, staying on top of, like, He said, with the one that's 20, he was like, every morning he take a shower, I gotta tell him to clean the tub out. He said, why do I gotta keep telling you, when you see, the grime there?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Dad, if you're taking a shower every day and you're not working, what kind of dirt you getting on your body?
Where the dirt coming from?
Exactly. It ain't like you left to go to work and you doing work that got you sweating all day.
Right. Hey, Call of Duty can make you or what is it? What's the other game they like to play?
Shit, I don't know. Sims?
No.
Grand Theft Auto.
No, that game that everybody playing that the kids be playing.
Roblox.
Not Roblox.
No, he's 20.
Would they be shooting and you turn on the... No.
He said it.
No, I'll think of it. But yeah, that takes a lot.
COD.
Yeah.
As the kids say.
So,
yeah.
So it's just funny because I was just talking to my dad then. He's like, yeah, he said, the only reason I kick Smige out yet because it's cold. But when it gets warm, he got to go somewhere. And I'm like, Dad, you can't adopt somebody. and then kick him out.
That's like going to the pound, getting a dog, and then letting it go.
Exactly, but you know what? you're not as cute as I thought you were.
Ooh, you bite. Bye.
And right. You don't realize, when you get a rescue pet, they put chips in, chips in these pets, like the dog.
Right.
So if you kick your cat out and they find it, they're gonna scan it, like, they're gonna bring it back to you.
Bring right back to you.
Like you lose something?
Yeah.
You ever see that movie? Oh God, what is it? It's a dog movie.
Dog Journey.
No, it's better. Strays. Well, this dog, his owner, just keeps taking him and leaving him. He thinks it's a game. Until he finally leaves him in the city and he meets other dogs and shit. And his whole goal is to go back and bite off the owner's nuts.
What?
Never saw that. Hilarious. It's dogs and they talk to each other. You know, obviously it's fucking actors and shit, but it's hilarious. Check that
shit. What's it called?
Strays.
Strays.
But the whole thing is, it's like he leaves them and he thinks it's a game, but he always makes it back. And he's like, shit. So he thought his name was like something, you know what I mean? Because he's always coming back and ruining it.
Yeah.
And he keeps taking him further and further away.
Fortnite. That was the name of the game.
Oh. Man. Fortnite.
Good
for Google. It took you long enough.
So, Charles, hey, in your humor, and I haven't heard in the past, but have you touched like on politics? Do you do that type of humor nowadays?
Not really, because it's so many people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not a topical guy. So you're not topical. You talk about your life, most part.
Yeah.
Yeah, because see, there's so many people talking about Trump. It's like, it's the cool clip. You know what I mean? It's like for that moment, but it's time stamping you.
Right.
You can't really talk about it 5 years from now, or else it's like, why are you bringing up this motherfucker? Or whatever. Like COVID. I didn't do no COVID jokes. Did you touch on that at all?
No, I only thing I was sometimes say, like, with the presidency, like I said, it don't matter who in office, like whoever take that job, after they get sworn in, they look so miserable.
Yep. Yeah, facts. Yeah, I don't like politics at all because I don't believe any of them.
And they age fast within 4 years.
And I pretty much say this with whoever, like president, like whatever their last day is in office, they'd be like, okay, well, I need as long as don't nothing happen before 12 noon, I'm good. Whatever happened after 12. Is on the new administration. I ain't got to get the hell out of here.
I heard that.
Except Trump, man. He's the only one because he don't give F's about anything anybody ever says. He's just there like, yep, I'm the best. Yep, I'll tell you what.
Because his base believe whatever he said. They got a video of him actually, fondling young children.
What?
Live on TV. And it's basically like, why y'all setting him up?
Right? Yep. That's AI groping him. That's not Donald. No, I 100%. But that's what I'm saying. Like, he's just carefree. That's why I think he's the only one that has really aged. He just don't care. He's just like, yep, I won. What else? I'm here.
And he's trying to do another 4 years, make it illegal so he can do another 4 years. Because he said he got a lot of work to do.
See, that's why our founding fathers said no.
Actually, the term limits didn't come into effect until after FDR.
Oh, until Roosevelt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Franklin Roosevelt, he was president from like like 32 to like well into the 40s.
Really?
Like 3-4 terms.
Wow.
Shouldn't
know that one either.
Yeah, because I always just assumed they didn't wind up. Which I even wrote something in college. We had to write a paper or like take some amendments or whatever and change them. And I did put, because what if, you know, like, I know Obama, I guess, did some wild shit, but he could tell me the world was going to end and I would be like, cool, okay. You know what I mean? Just the way he addressed the public and everything like that. But what if somebody in there was actually doing a good job? And what, after 8 years, we got to say, okay, bye. Let's put somebody else new in this bitch and see what they do. You know what I mean? It should be on a basis in a way.
You think it should be performance-based?
I mean, I like to say that, but the problem is you see how Trump is, you know what I mean? So, you know, regardless of as long as they're popular and people are there and they'll just keep supporting them, you can stay in, and that's how dictators become.
Well, to be honest, I mean, you need term limits, like in the Senate, in the House of Representatives, like in the Senate, you know, a senator shouldn't be allowed to be senator like no more than 3 times. Time.
They shouldn't be, but they're there forever.
Until they can't be here anymore.
Until they die.
Who was that? Mitch McConnell? He should have been retired.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then, yeah. And then a U.S. representative, I mean, you do 2 years, so you shouldn't be allowed to do no more than four. Four terms should be good enough.
Wow. So it seems like you into this. So are we going to see Ms. Charles Walden running for office anytime soon?
Hell no.
Nope, he just wants to be able to talk about whatever he wants.
Because you know what? You know, older gentleman told me this years ago. He said, the best person for president got enough sense not to run for that job. It's too much bullshit with.
Yeah, I think I heard it on the Rogan podcast, and they were like, yeah, they probably bring in the president the first day, sit him down and show him the JFK assassination. Any questions?
Whoa.
You gonna listen to everything we say, sir. And just go along with the script.
Yeah.
Wow. So you believe in aliens?
I mean, I believe it's probably something out there. I mean, we do got a lot of weird people around here. So,
episode of the Midnight Pocket Podcast brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer is they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trusts, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
Hey, thank you very much for joining us, man, and I appreciate that, man. Anything coming up that you want to promote?
I'm going to be March 2nd. I'll be in Little Rock, Arkansas at the Looney Bin.
Okay.
Do you have a website?
It's being finalized right now.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Well, everybody.
Hey.
You can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
And I am the_great_CoreE. And where can they find you once more, Mr. Walden?
Instagram. You know, Walden C23, and on Facebook under my name, Charles Walden.
All right,
sir. I'll put all your clips, all some links, all that in the description.
Hey, thank you very much.
Appreciate you once again. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast.